daily Los Angeles Angels podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. In today's episode, we are going to discuss the recent update on the Mickey Callaway situation and provide some very early and premature spring training observations. But before getting into the episode, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at bmags94, my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Thursday. Once again, a reminder that we are switching back to our Monday through Friday schedule, which is why you're hearing me today on a Thursday. So for those that missed yesterday's episode, I did announce that we are switching back to full-time Monday through Friday podcast schedule with the baseball season being back in full swing. So there's a lot to get into today. We are going to dive into the Mickey Callaway situation, the update that we got from more reporting from The Athletic. We're going to talk about some spring training observations, just some individual player evaluations. We've got some fun stuff to talk about regarding the prospects. But before we do get into this episode, there was one piece of information I want to pass along before we get into the bulk of this episode. And it was an update from the governor, Gavin Newsom, about crowds for MLB games this season, and it does sound like things are trending in the right direction for there to be limited capacity fans on opening day of this year for all of the California teams. So that is obviously significant for Angels fans who happen to be one of those five teams. And yeah, this isn't going to be like it used to be. It's still going to take a little while. We are not back to normal quite yet, but we are trending in a positive direction. And based on this reporting from Bill Shaken of the LA Times, it looks like there could be, 20 to 25% capacity, which at Angel Stadium is going to put you right around 10 to 12,000, give or take. So it is going to be an improvement on having no fans from last year. So again, we are trending in the right direction. And yeah, I mean, it's still a little weird. It's a little surreal to actually see fans back in the stadium right now in spring training, even in the limited capacity. But yeah, we're starting to trend in the right direction. So this is obviously a positive development, not just for the sport of baseball and Angels fans, but really for society as a whole. So we're going to dive into the first big segment of the day, and that is regarding the recent news about Mickey Callaway. And I wanted to say up front, I didn't neglect to talk about this story yesterday because I was not aware of it. I just knew that because of our planned division day at Locked On Angels and the Locked On Podcast Network, I didn't want to just squeeze the story in an episode that was already pretty jam-packed with material anyway. So I felt like it was more appropriate to give it its proper time in an episode today where I had a little bit more time to dive into this more. So again, that wasn't me neglecting this topic. I just wanted to give it more time that it actually deserved. So another pretty big bombshell of a story dropped at The Athletic again. To catch everybody up, if you have forgotten the details, about a month ago, Angels pitching coach Mickey Callaway was accused by a handful of women that came forward to talk to The Athletic about sexual harassment claims in the past, and this extended from his time in Cleveland as a pitching coach to New York as the manager, and then to the Angels as pitching coach. And the evidence is, it's damning. It is all over the place. There are tons of people that came forward to talk about it. There are visuals, there are text message exchanges. It is an ugly situation that, quite frankly, just got a lot worse based on the recent reporting that came out from The Athletic. And I don't know what's more discouraging, the behavior from Callaway or the fact that so many people were basically intent on covering it up and making sure that this guy was able to keep a job in the sport as long as he did. So I'll link the article in the podcast description. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to go check out this reading, man. It is very, very in-depth and just gives you a great overview of a very ugly situation. So again, this is from Britt Garoli, Katie Strang, and Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic. And the newest update didn't necessarily focus on all of the allegations from his time in the sport. This really emphasized his specific time in Cleveland, and it is not a good look for the Cleveland baseball team right now. There appears to have been a lot of covering up. It was pretty apparent that a lot of people within that organization knew about what was happening, and the fact that Callaway not only kept his job in Cleveland, but was able to go on and get another job as a manager in New York, and then once again with the Angels in Anaheim. And it's a really bad situation all the way around. Obviously, getting Mickey Callaway out of the sport is the first priority, but it does not mean that these problems are going to go away. The fact that this persisted and really permeated the entire sport, and so many people were apparently okay with this type of behavior, it's not good for the sport. It is not good for individual teams and front offices, but really for the sport as a whole, it sucks, man. And you look at some of the obvious issues from this. Yes, the sexism and blatant sexual harassment that was not only done by Mickey Callaway, but was kind of put up by other people within these organizations. That sucks. But another thing that has come up in this reporting is really the vetting process for this entire thing. It just sounds like after Mickey Callaway was done in Cleveland, the Mets wanted him so bad that they basically brought him on board without really conducting much of a background check, talking to people. And the same thing for the Angels. It sounds like Callaway was able to talk to Joe Maddon and basically get a job with the Angels without actually going through the extreme vetting process that you'd kind of expect from a high profile job like this. So all the way around, not a good look for obviously Mickey Callaway, for these individual teams, but really the sport as a whole, because this is a problem within the sport without a doubt. With all of this being said and all the details aside, there have been a lot of questions about why he is still employed by the Angels while he is under a suspension. We did get some clarification from this story and subsequent comments from Aldin Gonzalez of ESPN that this investigation is being done by Major League Baseball and not the Angels. So for those that are concerned, rightfully, about why the Angels haven't fired him yet, it does appear that there is a deeper investigation that's going on, not just specifically for some of these claims, but it looks like it's a deeper league-wide probe into all of these accusations and everything that has come out against Callaway. So it could take quite some time for this to happen, and it could kind of help explain why the Angels have not fired him yet. And yeah, I'm not the first one to come up with this notion, and again, I'm not some kind of legal expert, so I want to make that very clear. There's probably a financial aspect to this. The Angels are currently under separate lawsuits from the Tyler Skaggs death and the Bubba Harkins clubhouse manager. So it's very likely that the Angels are waiting for this investigation to be complete. And again, Mickey Callaway denied these accusations to both Major League Baseball, The Athletic, and to the Angels. So there is some sort of legality that is involved here. Yeah, I 100% agree. It sucks that this guy is still associated with the Angels, and until this investigation is over, he's kind of still going to be there. Again, I'm not a legal expert, and based on some of the conflicting reports we've seen about when you can fire a guy, it's a little unclear, and I don't want to dive into that specific aspect of this. I will say, regardless of what happens, the Angels are not off the hook on this. They either were somewhat familiar with some of these things that were going on with Mickey Callaway, or their vetting process just kind of sucks. The fact that this was one of the quote-unquote worst-kept secrets in the sport makes it just so abundantly clear that the right work was not done to really look into what was happening with Mickey Callaway, why this type of behavior was allegedly just okay regardless of where he was. So, ugly situation for Callaway, for the sport, and really just Major League Baseball as a whole. So we'll see what happens in regards to the Angels. Mickey Callaway is still employed by the Angels as I'm currently recording this until this investigation is complete. Coming up here in a bit, we are going to take a look at some of the very early spring training observations. But first, let me tell you about Rock Auto. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. This website is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. This RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. So right now, go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We're covering everything that you need to know about the Angels, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So we're going to talk about some very early and very premature spring training observations, and I want to start this segment off by saying that I am very excited that baseball's back. I am glad to see that there is baseball on my TV once again. And I'll also admit that spring training games as a whole do not really carry that much weight in terms of, does it mean anything? Do they carry predictive value into the season? No, they really don't. Players are working on things at this time of the year, so it's always very difficult to try to differentiate from all the guys saying they're in the best shapes of their lives. They did so-and-so. They're working on a new pitch. They lost 15 pounds. Whatever it might be, they're always these very rosy and optimistic outlooks at this time of the year, which makes it a great time of the year because there is that optimism before the season starts, but it makes it kind of hard to figure out what type of performances and results are actually real. So with that disclaimer out of the way, I did want to touch on some of the trends that I have enjoyed the most so far from Angels camp. And first, from the team-wide perspective, this is not really a surprise to anybody listening, but this position player unit is going to be pretty good. And again, you didn't need to watch a few spring training games to really gather as much. Any team that's starting with Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon and then can mix in a David Fletcher and a Shohei Ohtani in there is going to be one of the better groups in baseball. But it's pretty obvious that this is going to be a pretty killer lineup. Position player group, the defense should be pretty good, and yeah, I mean, that much is obvious. But from the individual player perspective, there are a couple performances that have really, really stood out so far. So first, we'll talk about some of the guys who are very likely to be regulars on this team and contribute in this season. And then we'll move on to some of the long-term guys looking at the prospects. So the first guy we're going to talk about is Shohei Ohtani. And it's kind of hard to imagine that there could be more hype around what he's doing so far. We got the report or the story from Fabian Ardaia at The Athletic talking about some of the changes he made this past offseason. We heard about the bullpen sessions where he hit 97 miles per hour and then hit 100 miles per hour. And on Wednesday's game, hit an absolute bomb in his last plate appearance of the day.
And on Shohei, there goes Adele again, and Shohei blasts the ball into dead center field. That one's out by the batter's eye, and it clears the batter's eye. A home run and a bomb there by Shohei Ohtani. It's 420 to dead center, and he cleared the batter's eye. That was big time power right there. Tape measure home run by Ohtani to dead center field.
And as you heard Terry Smith on the Fox Sports West broadcast, Shohei Ohtani cleared the batter's eye at Tempe Diablo Stadium. And again, for reference, that's 420 feet away to dead center field. According to the TrackMan data at the stadium, the ball traveled 468 feet, which is about 20 feet farther than any home run that Shohei Ohtani has hit in the major leagues to this point. So this ball was crushed. And you've got both of these elements going. You've got an apparently healthy Shohei Ohtani on the mound. You've got a guy that's confident in his skill set. We heard the reporting from Fabian about how this guy wants to take control of his situation and really just start to come into his own this year. He's got the skills. He's got the tool set. He's shown the success. And now we're kind of starting to see that 2018 version of him again. And it's very exciting to see again. This is kind of going against what I said at the beginning about spring training not meaning that much, but there are things that are worth following and things that you can definitely take note of. The fact that Shohei Ohtani, who has struggled so mightily with injuries as a pitcher and even injuries as a hitter with his knee issues, the fact that he's healthy right now, that he's hitting home runs 468 feet, that he's hitting 100 miles per hour on the mound, these are great signs. They're great signs, and the Angels could use nothing more than a two-way superstar from Shohei Ohtani this year. So very, very exciting stuff to see early on in camp. Next guys I want to talk about are the guys playing up the middle. So first and foremost, Jose Iglesias. Now, again, I don't want to buy too much into the spring training numbers. Again, that goes against what I was saying at the beginning, but this is a guy coming off of a career best season. He's already homered. He's already tripled. And I must say, he looks like a much better hitter than I would have originally realized. Now, do I think he's going to hit 375 like he did last season? Absolutely not. There are way too many numbers in the underlying profile that suggest that he's going to come back to earth and regress in a pretty big way. But it also wouldn't surprise me that maybe there is a little something there. He did boost his hard hit rate last season. There are some changes maybe that he made at the plate as he gets a little bit older. Again, he's not going to hit 375, but maybe there's something there. If this guy is close to league average as a hitter with the defense he provides, that's going to be a huge addition to this club because the Angels did not have a healthy Angelton Simmons over the last couple years. If they can get this kind of production from Jose Iglesias over a full season, that's going to be a really, really big addition. And then moving on to David Fletcher, who's playing right next to him at second base. The guy is just a good baseball player. The guy just looks really confident out there. We've seen him improve his approach at the plate. He's already walked three times this spring. He had an at-bat against Uber prospect Hunter Greene the other night where Hunter Greene was throwing 101, 102, 103. David Fletcher singled on a 103-mile-per-hour fastball from Hunter Greene. I mean, that is very, very difficult to do. And David Fletcher, who might be the game's premier bat-to-ball hitter, just made it look effortless. And I've got to say, this guy is very, very fun to watch. It's kind of relevant to bring this up right now because I just got the notification as I started recording. Fabian Ardaia had a story at The Athletic that came out about David Fletcher, how good he's become, and what an extension might look like for him. And I do believe that as a guy entering his final year before arbitration, it's a discussion that's probably worth having at this point. Fletcher is performing much better than I think anybody anticipated. He's a local guy who grew up in the area as an Angels fan, and it's an obvious extension scenario. So just a little David Fletcher love here. Everybody knows how good this guy's become and is one of the key parts of this Angels team. And last guys to talk about before moving on to the prospects, Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon have looked good. I don't think there's much more to add to that. Those guys are awesome. They're probably the best position player duo in the sport right now. The fact that they're performing so far isn't a surprise. So don't think that needs to garner any more conversation. But I do want to move on to some of the prospects. And we have touched on these guys a little bit on yesterday's episode. We talked about Chris Rodriguez and Reed Detmers. I kind of want to talk about all of these guys as a whole. So we'll start with the pitching because, again, it's worth talking about what Chris Rodriguez and Reed Detmers did on Tuesday night's game. That was really, really impressive stuff. As we touched on briefly in yesterday's episode, Chris Rodriguez looked really freaking good. The guy has been absolutely hamstrung by injuries over the last couple years. Just a barrage of back injuries and arm injuries. Just has not been able to throw. We started to get some reports last year at the alternate site that Rodriguez is looking really freaking good. And me personally, I was trying to temper my expectations a little bit just because there were so many injuries. We just had not seen him out in the field. So when he came out on Tuesday night, I expected to see good stuff. I wasn't exactly sure what it was going to look like, and I was blown away by how good he looked. He flashed 96 to 98 on the fastball, very sharp breaking ball, good changeup, and the guy was just going after hitters. I mean, the fact that he struck out Joey Votto, got three swing and misses against one of the best hitters of this generation. I mean, it is really just impressive and shows a lot about this guy because, again, he has barely pitched over the last two or three seasons. The fact that he is in this position right now and has a real shot to make an impact at the major league level as soon as this year, that is just a testament to how good he is and really the perseverance that he's shown at this point. And then talking about Reed Detmers, he looked good. The fastball velocity was a little bit higher than we're used to seeing. He's usually 89 to 92. He was more 92 to 94. And again, that was a smaller stint. It was only one inning, but it is noteworthy that he came out throwing a little bit harder than usual. The curveball looked very good. Slider looked a little bit better than we're used to seeing. This guy doesn't feature the same upside, I don't even think, as a guy like Chris Rodriguez, but I think that floor is so high that he's going to make it to the majors. It remains to be seen what kind of impact he's going to have, but a guy that can throw, and a lefty that can throw in the low 90s with a good curveball, throwing strikes, that is going to play at the major league level in some sort of fashion. So he's looking good. That's the guy who could make an impact at some point this year as a starting pitcher for sure. And then I just want to briefly touch on the really talented outfielders. At this point, Joe Adell is not technically a prospect by pretty much every outlet, so I'm still going to group them in this bunch and really just talk about the young outfielders as a whole. Joe Adell, Jordan Adams, and Brandon Marsh. They've each had varying results so far in spring training, but I think my comment is more or less just kind of being excited about having these young outfield prospects. Again, it's been a long time since the Angels have had this kind of depth at the upper levels of the minors, and regardless of what has happened over the last 5 years in terms of success for the organization, they have done a little bit better of a job of developing some of these players. We've already seen, you know, Griffin Canning come through. We saw the success story of David Fletcher. If this club can make the most of Joe Adell, Brandon Marsh, Jordan Adams, the pitchers we just referenced, even some of the younger guys like Jeremiah Jackson, things could be trending in the right direction for this organization. So it's going to be a pretty pivotal year for the player development system. And I will try to keep updating all of these guys, not only throughout spring, but the entire season, because I do think a lot of these guys that we just talked about are going to be a big part of what happens in the next half decade of Angels baseball. That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. As always, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94 and my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. So before we get out of here, a couple things I wanted to run by you. As usual, the recommended reading segment that I'm trying to incorporate. I guess I'll just use the story that I referenced earlier about Mickey Callaway. It's an important story to read. It's a very uncomfortable read just because of the details that we talked about. So I will link that in the podcast description. And Friday's episode will be a fan mailbag segment. So again, if you want to send in your question, you can tweet at me at BMags94. You can tweet at the Locked On Angels Twitter account. You can DM us. You can send me an email at BrentJMaguire94@gmail.com. Whatever you choose is totally fine. But if you want to get a question in, make sure to send that at some point on Thursday. But that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we will talk some Angels baseball on Friday.